This is Jody Apple.
In our last broadcast, we were emphasizing the distinctive nature of faith that's presented in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Here's what we noted. In the immediately preceding context, we saw five expressed denials of faith. We saw one implied denial of faith. Those denials of faith were not just general denials of faith, but rather they were specific rejections of eyewitness testimony of the resurrection of Christ. On one occasion, those who rejected the resurrected Christ actually saw him for themselves in Luke chapter 24. It would appear obvious then that Mark's expression, "he who believes and is baptized," in Mark 16, 15, and 16, addresses more than some generic form of faith. The apostles lived and worked with Jesus for more than 3 years. They believed in Jesus. Mark 16, 15, and 16 is not saying that people need to believe in Jesus in this sense. The faith under consideration here is much greater. It is more than just believing in Jesus. It is more than just believing that Jesus lived. It is more than just believing that Jesus saves. It is more than just believing in Jesus as the Messiah. It is more than just believing that Jesus the Messiah saves. It is believing that Jesus the resurrected Messiah saves. It is believing that Jesus, the resurrected Messiah, as proven repeatedly by eyewitness testimony, saves. Furthermore, it is believing that Jesus, the resurrected Messiah, as proven by eyewitness testimony, saves when we are obedient to his command to be baptized for the remission of sins. It is understanding that God has placed a binding and soul-saving connection between our faith in Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior as the resurrected Messiah and the means of entrance into Christ's kingdom. Jesus did not command the apostles to go into all the world and preach some generic form of faith. He gave the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel that was God's power to save. The phrase, "he who believes and is baptized," demands a particular breed of faith. It is more than faith in Christ, even more than faith in the resurrected Christ. Our faith must be such that the certainty of his resurrection is a guarantee of the certainty of our own resurrection, all of which is pictured and reenacted literally in baptism. We die to sin. We are buried in water. We are raised to walk in newness of life, not just here and now, but in prospect of the life to come. The resurrection is key to everything. When Jesus says, "he that believes and is baptized shall be saved," the apostles' unbelief in the resurrection of Christ was critically pointed out repeatedly in the immediately preceding verses in Mark chapter 16. They rejected eyewitness testimony. They failed to believe even after Christ appeared to them. It would make no sense at all for Jesus to send those apostles into the world and preach a gospel based on their denial of the resurrection. That kind of faith simply cannot save. It is powerless to save. They had to accept the truthfulness of the resurrection. At first, they failed to do so because they rejected eyewitness testimony. Now, they are charged with the task of convincing the world to believe in their own eyewitness testimony. This is why Peter and why John are so passionate and so bold in their preaching. They knew that they didn't believe at first. They remembered Christ's rebukes for their unbelief. They knew that they were still lacking in faith even after they personally witnessed the resurrection. But that was past. Now they knew that they had actually seen actually heard, actually touched, and actually experienced the resurrected Christ. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and following, note the strength of John's conviction in the reality of the resurrected Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, note the strength of Peter's conviction in the resurrected Christ. He was proven to be alive again by many infallible proofs, Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. And now they knew that it was their task to proclaim this message to the world. When Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved," he meant that those taught by the apostles must not only believe that Jesus was the Son of God, but that he was the resurrected Son of God, able not only to take his own life back, but also to give them, those who believed and submitted to him in baptism, to give them life eternally. And they had to be convinced, based upon apostolic testimony. Those who do not believe will be condemned. Not just those who do not believe in Christ, but those who do not believe in the resurrected Christ, who is able to raise both himself and the lost souls who truly believe in him. The passage continues in Mark 16, and these signs will follow those who believe. The signs that Jesus promised would follow came only to those with faith in the saving power of the resurrected Christ. It was not enough just to believe in God, not enough just to believe in Christ. The signs accompanied those who believed in the resurrected Christ, who was able not only to bring life to himself, but to give eternal life to everybody who has that degree of faith, resurrected Messiah faith. They are the ones who were then going to be able to cast out demons. They are the ones who were then going to be able to speak with new tongues. They are the ones who were then not going to be ill, affected by the serpents who bite them. The saving power of the resurrected Christ is at the core of everything. If we read Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, by itself, out of its context, it's entirely possible that we might miss that. Seven times in this immediate passage, a little more than one-fourth of all the occurrences of faith in the book of Mark occur. Jesus is talking pointedly about his resurrected state as the Messiah. Has God raised the bar? Has he made things that much more difficult for us? Because he's not just saying, "I just want you to believe. I just want you to believe that there's a God. I just want you to believe that a man by the name of Jesus walked on the face of this earth." You can know these truths even without the Bible. You can come to faith in God through his creation. Jesus is alluded to in the course of secular history, but it's only in the Bible, the eyewitness testimony confirmed and corroborated by the miracles, by the proofs, and by the recording of the word safeguarded, vouchsafed providentially for 2,000 years, that we know of the resurrection of the Christ with certainty. Our faith needs to be in that Messiah, because his resurrection is the hope of my resurrection, is the hope of your resurrection, is the hope of your neighbor's resurrection, is the hope of everybody's resurrection. We need to preach that and live that in a way that we have the same degree of confidence and conviction that the early Christians had. Without faith in the reality of the resurrection, there is no hope. That is exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. If the resurrection has not happened, your faith is vain. Our preaching is vain. Everything about you is vain. And you are, of all men, most miserable. You are still in your sins, and there is nothing to live for. The resurrection, then, is central to all of faith. The faith that leads to the conclusion that Jesus is the resurrected, and thus the saving Christ, must also evidence itself in a specific God-ordained means of obedience. That God-ordained means of obedience is realized in baptism. That is the divinely ordained connection between faith and baptism in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Thank you so much for listening to our broadcast today.